So yesterday, we outlined the problems with the three-day journey, which may or may never have happened, and the implications for the reparations, how you understand that money, the borrowing, the chulei. By the way, this is the Gemara that you wanted. Might as well read it. Okay, but these are the lines. This is Gemara in Sanhedrin, as I said, Sadi Aleph, which is Shuv Pam Achas Ba'u B'nei Mitzrayim La'dunim Yisrael Lefnei Alexandros Makedon. The Egyptians came to, they brought the Jews to court in front of, who's Alexandros Makedon?
Alexander the Great,
or as we call him, Alexander
of Macedonia.
Exactly. Amrulo Hare Hu Omer Vashem Natan Al Chena'am B'nei Mitzrayim Vayashalom Tinu Lanu Kesev Zahav Shemet Alta Mimenu. And give us the money. Right? That's the claim that Gemara already puts forth. Now, what's the Gemara's response?
Psisa is something in Korban.
I think Psisa. And yeah, what did he say? What was his response?
You mean after the whole...
That was the question. What was the response?
It's like, oh, so you're bringing that from the Torah, so let me respond to you with something else from the Torah. You guys enslaved us for
very good
time. Was the money that we should have gotten for doing all this work.
Very good. So now let's move from there. Let's use this Gemara's opening. Right, the Gemara said his response was very nice, but if you think that we owe you the money that we took, you owe us reparations.
Quite a bit more.
Right, reparations. So this leads us to some of the other possibilities. So one possibility, as we noted yesterday, was no, everyone knew this wasn't 3 days. Maybe it had started as 3 days, but by the end, everyone knew it was permanent. There had been a change in plan. Paro sent them out, and these were gifts. And Vayishilim doesn't mean alone, it means a gift. And why did he give them? Either to encourage them to get out of there, or because maybe some of them were friends, or whatever, they were afraid, the chulei. Now, that story should open us up to other possibilities. So let's take half of that Gemara. Some of the Mefarshim take half of that Gemara, but not all of it. Meaning in that Gemara, the assumption was the Egyptians didn't know that they were leaving, right? Therefore, they only lent them the property. What else did we discuss? Oh, yesterday we also dealt with the possibility that it was a trade, right, for the real estate. Okay, good. But the Gemara assumes, right, that at least the Mitzrim claimed that they didn't know, right? Therefore, this is theft. And the response was, well, let's see how you read the Gemara, right? One way of reading the Gemara is, Enochanami was theft, right? But that's only, you know, a drop in the bucket of what you owe us, so let's call it even and move on. Right? That's one way of reading the Gemara. But there are many Mefarshim who said, you know what? We'll take the claim, as we discussed yesterday, against the Gemara, that no, they really did know that this was forever, and they really did give it to them. But it takes the Gemara's response and says, no, that's what this was. Meaning, this was reparations. This was, in fact, payment. Everyone knew what was going on, and this was payment. And this position is taken by several Rishonim, even Gaonim, actually. Now, there are different ways of saying this. This could either be, you could say that it's payment for all those years, or you could say it is ha'anaka. Right? Those are two variations on this. Right, what's the difference? I mean, one is to say this is payment for the years of slavery. The other is that there's a halacha in the Torah that when you free a slave,
you give them gifts.
You give them gifts to help them
start off
their life, on their own 2 feet. So you can have variations on this where they knew that this was forever and they were giving it to them either as payment for the years of slavery or not necessarily, you know, we owe you $300 billion for whatever, but...
Oh, the U.S. is dead.
What?
The U.S. is dead.
Well, that's, I think, $19 trillion or something, but whatever.
I think it's over $20 trillion. Ridiculous.
Whatever it is. The other possibility is some sort of a hanukkah. So this position is taken by several Rishonim and Gaonim. So, for example, Rav Sadia Gaon, says that it was Hanaka. He says he gave though it was Matanu Prascha Adam Shachrerato Kamamara Katuv Lo Tasha Chenu Rekam Hanek Taniklo. Lo koshikin mitzrayim shalom not lavatinu schar v'shibdu otam rudafum. So he says he sent them with, again, now it's sort of weird, right? He says it was Hanaka because they never paid them, right? Meaning, so he sort of blurs the line. It's not clear which one he really wants, but he says ukshem mishachrim otam rei davar hamuad bioterhu shulam imasha chanan otam elokim k'mo shenemashe v'rach hashem elokech tizen lo. So that's Rav Saji going. The Rashbam says this. This is the Moshe of Zekanim understands Rashbam. He writes, Perish Rashbam, Vaishalu Lashon She'ila, Utvi'a, She'i Yisrael Omer, Lemitri, Tein Liyato HaKezeb Ploni, She'ita Ayom B'makom Ploni, Bavod Datish, Avadtem Banu, Tenehu Li. So Moshe of Zekanim says the language was, give us that money because we worked for you. Velo lashen sheila kichas v'chalila shiu Yisrael gazlanim ve'einam mishalmim ma sheyish alu. So the Moshe of Zekanim is very clear that he thinks that it is payment. It's not Hanaka, right? It's not just a gift because they're entering slavery, but it's actually a probably incomplete, but payment of the work that, you know, the slavery that they were never paid for. The Chizkuni as well says Vishala Isha Bimatana Gmura, right? Meaning this was above board. They said give it as a gift, and then if you skip to the end, this is in Perek Gimel Pasuk Kampet, he says Bishar Shiavud Avudot Perech. And this was the payment for what they did. So the So far what we've seen are the variations on the possibility that everyone knew it was happening, and these were gifts, either friendship, what else did we say yesterday, property swap, religious sponsorship of the three-day service or whatever was going to happen, Hanaka, or payment for the slavery. Now, I think what has become clear, though, is that many of these possibilities maintain even if you flip. Right? I mean, so far we've taken one possibility in terms of whether it was deception, and we've seen five, six variations on what the point of this payment was, right? A gift to just get them out, payment for the slavery, Hanaka, property swap, v'chule. But many of these are possible to maintain, even if you think that this was in fact deceptive, right? Meaning, you can now say the exact same thing, which is say, no, this was in fact deceptive. The Egyptians didn't know what they were getting themselves into. They thought it was a loan, but it was a trick into getting them to pay for payment, okay? Payment for the years of slavery, which is, who says this? That's essentially what Gvia ben Pesisa says in Sanhedrin, right? I mean, that's essentially what he's saying, which is, in a chanami, we tricked you, but we deserve the money, so get over yourselves, right? Meaning, so you see, but that Gemara is a good example of a case where, right, I mean, these are two questions which are related but not tied to each other, right? Meaning one question is the Egyptians know what was going on. The second is what was the purpose of the money. So far we've seen five possibilities if they knew, but some of them can maintain. Now obviously a gift, you can't get a gift by trickery. That doesn't work, right? If you think it's a gift, then you have to assume that this was above board, that everyone knew what was going on. But if this was meant to be reparations for the slavery, so then, as Gvia ben Pesisa says, okay, Hanami, so we tricked you. So you didn't know. So you gave us $1 million worth of things. Fine, so we owe you $1 million. And you owe us $3 billion, so we'll call it even, right? You wanna fight it out in court? We'll work out the details.
We'll give you back $1 million. You'll give us back quite a bit more.
Bidyuk. So that is possible, right? And actually makes a lot of sense. And it's pretty easy to understand. Similarly, right, you could say that the property compensation, right? You could say the same thing, but say it was a trick. Right? I mean, you could come up with the same thing, which is the Jews were leaving them their property, and they borrowed the money to trick them into paying them for their property that they were never going to get paid for otherwise. Right? So that possibility can be maintained. Trickery, and think it's payment. Or you can have some sort of middle position. Yehuda Chassid has a middle position, which is he says that the Jews said to the Mitzrayim, look, if we just go for 3 days, great, we'll return the property. And if we don't, so keep all the property that we left here and it'll be a trade. That's the Mashkum. Right? Or something like that, right? So again, you can have variations on this, and many of the Mefarshim do. What I think we need to do tomorrow is then ask, okay, if you do that, then this already assumes that part of the plan was deception. Why? Right? Why would you want deception to be part of the plan? So that's what we'll do tomorrow. And the last thing, and this will really bring us into the sort of climactic moment of the Parsha, which is to say, maybe we've been miscategorizing all of this, right? This is not a gift. This is not a deceptive thing. This is, just like after Kriyat Yamsuf, that's clearly
an ace.
It's not an ace. It's a spoils of war.
Oh, that's what you're saying.
Right? Spoils of war, right? Maybe this is just the beginning of that process, right? This is part of that final battle, which is another possibility that we'll have to explore, but we'll do those tomorrow, maybe in 2 days. Like I said, this idea, right? These ideas may take us all week, but that's fine.